If you have your Bible handy, will you get it, please, and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I desire today, in these few moments with the book, to just follow a few verses in this first chapter of Corinthians, beginning at verse 17, and I wish to comment as the Lord may lead as we proceed. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The human writer is the Apostle Paul. He is the one who was chosen of God to present the gospel to the Corinthians, and he states here the purpose of his mission. He was sent to preach the gospel. He was not sent to baptize. Baptism, water baptism, dear friend, has nothing to do with the salvation of the soul. The gospel and the gospel alone is that which is God's power to salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel tells not what we should do, but what Christ has done. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. And this precious message is his power to salvation. And it's not with the wisdom of words that Paul wished to speak. That is, the wisdom of speech or oratory, man's reasoning. He desired that the simple truth of the gospel should be made known, for he knew that only thus would the cross of Christ be of effect. In verse 18, he says, the preaching, or the word of the cross, is to them that perish foolishness. Alas, how sadly we see this illustrated for us in those who hear and refuse this wonderful message. It is regarded as foolishness. But you'll notice the apostle says that this is only an indication that those that regard the message of the cross as foolishness are perishing. I wonder how my listener regards the message of the gospel. Is it foolishness to you, this preaching of the cross? The fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to go to the cross and die for you, the sinner? God's plan of salvation through the redemption of his Son, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus through the work of Calvary. This, dear friend, this preaching of the cross, is it foolishness to you? If it is, the Bible says that you are perishing. To be perishing means that you are still in your sin and on your way to eternal ruin. And according to the Lord's words in John 3, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God's wrath actually abides now on those who regard the preaching of the cross as foolishness. And unless there is a turning to Christ in repentance, and unless there is faith put in him, that wrath will fall in eternity upon those who are Christless. The preaching of the cross embodies the whole story of God's love told out. Against the black, dark background of man's sin, we see the holiness and righteousness of God. Against the background of man's hatred, seen at the cross and Calvary, we see the marvelous display of God's love. Against the disobedience of men, from the time that Adam sinned and brought sin into the world and death by sin, we see there at the cross the obedience of one, and that God's only begotten Son, who came to do his Father's will and to give his life in obedience, as he said, "This commandment have I received of my Father. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Dear friend, all this is embodied in the preaching of the cross. It's the preaching of man's redemption through the shedding of the blood of Calvary. Is it foolishness to you? The apostle goes on to say, but unto us which are saved, how grand it is to know from Scripture that we may be saved. And we are saved. The Bible tells us we are saved. By grace through faith are ye saved. And unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. That is the preaching of the cross. We have found this wonderful story of the heart of God told out as that which has brought us life, forgiveness, salvation through the power of God. We are saved. Let me ask my listener, are you saved? If you are not saved, you are perishing. You are lost, but you need not remain so. The word of the cross is still going out. The message of salvation through the cross of Christ is being told today that you might believe and live. The apostle goes on in verse 19 to quote Scripture, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. One has to do with a God of judgment, dear friend. And the day is coming when he is going to manifest what is only of worldly wisdom. And he's going to destroy it. The world today boasts of its wisdom, a wisdom that leaves God out, that denies Christ, that rejects his word. But God is going to destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, that is, the prudent in human thinking and reasoning. Where is the wise, he says? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He certainly has. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Yes, God was here in the person of his Son, and they willingly were ignorant of him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And we read that they said at the end of his ministry, we will not have this man to reign over us. And the world too, the Gentile world, could not be bothered with such foolishness of preaching. As he goes on to say, however, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Dear friend, preaching may be regarded as foolishness. It's not the thought here that what is preached was foolish at all, but preaching as an act, preaching as a method, is regarded as foolish. I suppose there are some today that still regard it as such. And yet it is God's way of reaching souls, making known the gospel through preaching, the preaching of the cross. Unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. And it pleases God by the foolishness, this method of preaching, to save them that believe. It is our heart's desire that today there may be those listening who will, through the method of preaching, hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn in repentance, believe and live. Now he goes on to say in verse 22 that the Jews ask for a sign. And the Lord, and he was here, said that they had all the signs that they needed. And then the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. Yes, the world desires a wisdom that will cater to its pride. But yet it's a wisdom that knows not God. However, you notice in the gospel and in the preaching that is regarded as foolishness, we read, we preach Christ crucified. This is what men need to hear. A world that is lost in sin, its ruin, such as it is today as we see it around us, doesn't need to be reminded of the conditions that it is in. I'll tell you, dear friend, you know the conditions the world is in, the conditions that exist all around us. What you need to know is that which will deliver you from that, and that is the preaching of the gospel, Christ crucified. Christ was crucified for you. He came in love for you. He went to the cross for you. He bore the sin for you. He bore the curse. He bore the judgment. He was crucified that you might be saved. Now, Christ crucified was to the Jews a stumbling block. That is, he came, and the Jews expected him as the Messiah to set up his millennial kingdom. They were looking for the glory of the kingdom and to be delivered from the Roman government. But you know, they ignored the scriptures which said that Christ must first suffer before entering into his glory. And so the crucifixion of Christ was to them a stumbling block. Now, it wasn't to the eye of faith, because faith accepted the testimony of Isaiah, the one who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But to the Jews it was a stumbling block. Maybe I'm talking today to one who is a Jew. Dear friend, Christ was crucified for you. Yes, he was a Jew. He came of the tribe of Judah. He came according to the prophecies of Isaiah and Daniel and Micah. Those very prophecies, dear friend, which you have in your Old Testament, all speak of him and point to his death. Well, he has come. He has been here, and that Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Christ of God the Messiah. And he was crucified through weakness, crucified for you, but he was raised again and he lives. Now to the Greeks, such preaching was foolishness. And perhaps today the Gentile listeners would say the same thing, many of them. The world by wisdom knew not God. But notice, the apostle goes on to say, but unto them which are the called, that is, those who trust this Savior, who respond to the call, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Faith sees in the Lord Jesus Christ not a stumbling block and not foolishness, but the power and the wisdom of God. Because in Christ, and in the message of Christ crucified, it's the power of God to salvation, to take us out of our sins and put us in the Savior, to take us out of spiritual death and bring us into spiritual life. And it's to take us out of our folly and bring us into the sphere of his wisdom. Oh, dear friend, this is what God wishes for you. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Stop and consider what a God you have to do with, and he wants to do with you, dear friend, now in grace. Isn't it a marvelous thing? As we read next, we see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, and how true that is in this world of man's standards of wise and mighty and noble. But what has God done? God hath chosen the foolish things of the world, that is, that which is regarded as foolish by the world. God hath chosen also the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things, those things that are not noble. Here's a little girl, a little boy. Here's a little old woman, a little old man. Here's a young man, a young woman, those who in the eyes of the world are regarded as foolish and simple. And yet what do they have? They have simple trust in an almighty God. They have faith in a crucified Savior who rose again. And it is to them that the gospel is God's power to salvation, because they believe. Dear friend, will you not believe? God is using the things of foolishness as regarded by men to confound the things that are mighty. And the time is coming when everything is going to be brought to its proper level. He is going to destroy, as we have already noticed, the wisdom of the wise. And those that are going to stand are those who alone are wise in Christ, who in Christ have found the true power and the wisdom of God. Now, This is all in order that no flesh should glory in his presence. Anyone that gets blessed is not because of any inherent value in himself. Dear friend, our blessing comes, whether rich or poor, whether noble or ignoble, whether base or whether high exalted, our blessings come all in Christ. There is no difference between you and me and anyone else as far as our natural standing. There's no improvement of nature that is required. A man needs to be born again. We need to be brought to Christ by faith and put in him. And in Christ, a man is a new creation. This is what the gospel will do. Now of him are ye, Paul writing to the believers in Corinth, in Christ Jesus, the place of safety. Are you in him? As Noah was in the ark and saved from judgment, are you in Christ and safe? Oh, if so, we read here, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Wisdom is that from God which is a casket, as it were, of priceless jewels, in which the redeemed find not only liberty, but marvelous enrichment, dear friend. We have here in this casket of wisdom righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. How much they mean, we shall never be able to fathom completely. Righteousness is what every sinner needs, because we are unrighteous. And we have righteousness in Christ, made the righteousness of God in him. This is what you must have if you are to be saved. And this is what you do receive when you are saved, when you trust Christ, when you believe the gospel. Sanctification? Sanctification means being set apart to God. We are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The sinner who is away from God, one who is in his sins, is brought nigh to God. He's set apart to God. The blood of Christ is that which sets us apart to God. We are his. Are you set apart to him? Are you sanctified? We are sanctified, as Paul says, by faith in Christ Jesus. Redemption. Redemption. Oh, how wonderful to think. God's love acting from itself and for itself to satisfy itself at a personal cost. And this he does in order to get back to himself what has been alienated, something that he values, and that something, that someone is you, dear friend. Oh, what a cost it was, the price that he paid to redeem you. To be redeemed means to be purchased with a price never to be put up for sale again. And every believer has now the redemption of his soul, the deliverance from sin and bondage. And you belong to him. But we wait the redemption of our bodies, and this is included in the blessings of this casket of jewels that are ours, yours, dear friend, if you too are in Christ Jesus, and you may be. The promise that we shall be redeemed, that is our bodies, even though we may die and these bodies are laid away, there's coming a day at the rapture when Christ will raise the bodies of the believer. And at the rapture, we who are still alive shall be changed, and our bodies shall be redeemed. We shall have a body like his own. All this is in the casket of jewels, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Again, I say that this is nothing from ourself, nor does it depend on ourselves. It is all in Christ. Let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. This is the wisdom of God made known in the gospel. This is the preaching of the cross and what it affects. Will you not today, dear friend, receive these words of the cross? Trust this Savior and find out that the cross of Christ is made of effect to you as you put your faith and trust in him who died for you and rose again. May God bless his word for his name's sake.